This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Chevrolet, let's learn. We began last week to... We entered last week into the Dalet Amos of Halacha. Until now, for the past year and a half or two, it's all Hakdamas, and we're not finished with the Hakdamas. There's a lot more Hakdamas that we need to discuss. But as I said a few weeks ago, the beginning of taking control of our lives is knowing, is knowledge. Knowledge, of course, brings with it also a great deal of pain. Shlomo Melech said, Yosef Das, Yosef Machoif. Knowledge brings pain. But the advantage of knowing is that with knowledge, one can leave the world of demyonos, can leave the world of imagination, and be in the world of Kedusha, a world that's real, that's holy, and that's good, and that you and I have access to that world through the Torah that we learn and through our tefillos. So last week we began to learn inside the piece of the Encyclopedia Talmudis, which we'll come back to. Hold on to it. I know some of you don't have it. Don't worry. Because I want to go over the halachas more outside, because I realize it's a little bit technical in there, and it doesn't present the entirety of the picture that I would like to. So we'll come back to that, Mitzvah Shem, after Yantiv. But for now, I'm going to try to give the basic halachic, I hate to use the word overview, it sounds very cold, but I guess that's what it is. To give at least the background, which it seems that after going through this, I spent some time going to the sugya. It seems that there are basically seven shittas about how to understand what's the makar, what's the source of this iser of haitzas zera levatala. All we know from the time that those who went to yeshiva heard that this is a terrible, terrible aveira. And those who did not go to yeshiva heard that there are Jews who are crazy who believe that this is an aveira. And the question is, after looking in Chumash and looking in Shulchan Aruch and so on, the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, we learned a little bit from the Gemara last week in Nida, and we saw the Rambam, we saw Shulchan Aruch. Lamaisa, what's the makar of this issa? Of this terrible, terrible issa that we've been hearing about? Of the cheta yadua. The cheta yadua, shalo yodim oto, maza. What's this cheta yadua? What is it? So I want to go through the seven shittas. The seventh is the one we're going to be spending the next 20, 30 years talking about. So I'm not going to get to the seventh today. We already have spoken about the seventh, but the first six is what we're going to do right now. We'll see if we get to the seventh. Because there's also a piece from Absalika Kurian on the sixth one that we need to talk about. So a little bit Chazar also. Okay, the first Shita looks at the story in Chumash, in Parshas Vayeshev, the mysterious story of the sons of Yehuda, of Er and Onan. It's not exactly clear who these people are and what was bugging them, although we're shown something in Chumash of what was happening there. But we do know that what they did by spilling their own seed, what the Torah tells us, is that it was Ra Be'nei Hashem. It was something that was Ra Be'nei Hashem. Now the question, Bechlal, learning halacha from events that took place before Maimon HaSinai, before Shuas, that's a very big sugi in halacha, of course, right? Learning halacha lemaisa from things that took place in Sefer Bereishis. But the Prima Gadim and our Chaim Simon Gimel, the Prima Gadim learns pshat like this in the Magen Avraham, that at least we're able to see from here, from the story of Aaron Onan spilling their seed, and that it was Ra Be'enei Hashem. And I spoke last week about this, how it's emphasized in Chumash, Be'enei Hashem. And to this day, people really don't understand what's so bad about that. But Be'enei Hashem, it seems to be something which is bad. That's really the main part of the problem of this whole sugya, is that it seems to be very bad in God's eyes, but we don't exactly understand why. So, but the Prima Gadol learns Pshat in the Magen Avraham that the fact that the Torah has revealed that it was Rabbi Bnei Hashem, even though that they were Bnei Noach before the Torah, nevertheless, that's the Makar, that is the source of this Isser, that the Torah reveals that it is something which is Rabbi Bnei Hashem, it's not good in God's eyes. That's number one. Source number two. Again, here is a little bit, just reviewing for a minute or two. The second source, which is rooted in the sugya in Nida over there that we learned last week, and Dafyud Gimel on the base, learns it out from Nesesnesesadivris, Loisenaf. Now, we always translate that as committing adultery, but we saw in the Gemara, and there are Rishonim and Achronim who understand, that since in the Nesesadivris, it does not say loisinaf beisha. It doesn't say do not commit adultery with a woman. It says that elsewhere in Chumash, veisha sheinayv es ish es eishes ve'eyu. It does say elsewhere in Chumash, but in the Asherah Divrus it says just loisinaf. So the Bach and others understood that when it says, and this is how they learned pshat in the Gemara, that when it says stam loisinaf in the Asherah Divrus, and not, it does not say losinaf es eishes re'echa. Not, it doesn't say don't commit adultery with a woman. But the Bach in Simon Chav Gimel in Evan Ha'ezer, the Bach understands. He writes the following: Alma de b'niyuf shelo al yidei isha ka'amar kra. That in the Asher it just says stam losinaf. It's talking about b'niyuf shelo al yidei isha. It's talking about niyuf. There's a type of a niyuf. That's something that is inappropriate, that's sexually inappropriate. That's not with a woman. Lo tehe b'chan niyuf. Now the Bach understands that this is talking about masturbation. It's talking about biyada beregel. The smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, the Reis Tzadik Beis, counts this as a leisasei, and he writes the following: Shaloi lo hashchis zera. One is not allowed to waste one seed. The chsiv loisinaf. It's written in the Asherah Divrus loisinaf. Kegoin hamanafim biyad or beregel. We saw in the Gemara, like those who are manaif with their hands or rubbing their leg against the bris. This is also brought down in the Sefer Charedim, the Mitzvos Loisasei. So according to this, the limud is from the Asherah Divrus loisinaf. That's the second makar. Third makar. The third is probably the most extreme, that it's somehow equated to shvichas damim, to murder, the potential life that's contained within the seed. The Balaturim sees this as being hinted at in the Aser Shadibris because of the smichus of loisirzach, loisirzach, and loisinaf, that their neighbors in the Aser Shadibris, the Isra of killing and the Isra of niuf, which he obviously also accepts as being niuf, not necessarily with a woman, but even niuf that is brought upon oneself through masturbation. And he says that the makor of the isser is that it's a type of shvichas dam. That's the third makor. The fourth makor is Reb Tzadok HaKohen Milublin. He's the one that speaks about this most. There are traces of this in the Rishonim, but the Kohen from Lublin made a very big binyan out of this. He learns that the isser is bechlal, the mitzvah, the positive mitzvah of pruravu. That's something that could resonate more with a modern sensibility, a way of thinking, that in the mitzvah of pruravu, a bitl of that mitzvah of pruravu is for a person like what happened with the Erev Onei, where there could be potential life, or in other words, you could be engaging in the mitzvah of having children, of being married and having children, and instead you're wasting your seed. So Reb Tzadok HaKohen explains, and he brings many rayos for this yisod, which we'll get to when we learn that piece inside Takanas HaShavin, that the Kohen learns that it's a bitl of the mitzvah saseh of having children of puravu. That's the fourth makar. The fifth makar, it's important to know these because they're going to be coming up in a lot of the discussions, these different shittas. The fifth makar, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechon Levacher, Rav Moshe, in a number of tshuvas, brings the pasuk V'nishmarta mikol davar ra. It's a very general term. V'nishmarta, you should guard yourself mikol davar ra, from anything that's bad. Mikol davar ra, from anything that's bad. I mean, that could be a coffee, a Diet Coke. Doesn't mean v'nishmarta. And that could very well be included in the pasuk of v'nishmarta mikol davar ra. Now, what the Gemara says about that, in Avodah Zarah and Daf Chaf Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Mikan shlo yahar adam b'yoyim v'yorvel deyektuma b'layla. When the Shemata Mikol Devarah, we have a Kabbalah from Chazal. The Chazal said it's referring to something specific. The Torah is very edel and speaks in the edler ways. It's very hidden. But there's something specific that God had in his mind when he said the words in the Shemata Mikol Devarah. And the Gemara of Avodah Zarah tells us that a person should not intentionally cause oneself to have inappropriate thoughts. We'll talk about what happens when a person gets ambushed. You know, that's something else when you get attacked by a disgusting thought. That happens. But if you're God forbid a person and you're sitting around looking at pictures and you're sitting on a park bench, Nebuchadnezzar had a boy that called me on Erev Shabbos. A boy, he's a married man, a chashev guy, and he called me up crying. He was in the city. He went to watch girls that were sunning themselves in Central Park, and now he doesn't know how to face his wife for Shabbos. I says, "Taka Akasha, you know, it's not so pasha to go home. Good Shabbos. So he went out of his way to go find this place because he heard somebody told him that there's like a whole big sunning event going on because it was a nice day. So he went to find the chevra there in Central Park, the undressed chevra in Central Park. So then you can't say that this is what happened at night. And if this person has an accident while he's sleeping, so that's not an accident. That's what the Gemara means. When the Shemata Mikol Davar Ra Mikan Shlo Yahar Adam V'Yoyim, don't cause yourself to have thoughts that are inappropriate during the day. V'Yorva L'Day Tumah B'Layla. Because if you do that, and here, not even if it's not an issue of niyuf, of masturbation, the fact that you bring this upon yourself by looking at inappropriate things, and that the eventuality is, that could very well be, that when a person is sleeping, then a cholim and a cholim, all kinds of things happen. What a person was thinking about during the day have a way of emerging at night, of resurfacing in one's dreams. And that's a tumah b'layla. So Rav Moshe says the following. Rav Moshe says that if we see that there's an azhara from the Torah, now Rav Moshe holds his deraisa, that if the Torah is warning us not to be maharher, not to have negative, inappropriate sexual thoughts, to do our best to avoid that during the day. Shema what? Shema, that you'll come to Chalila, there'll be a Tumah B'Layla, that there'll be something that'll happen while you're sleeping. So Moshe says, then Kol Shekein. If a person is bemazed, he goes and he puts his hand by the Eiver, and he's Meshavshef, and he rubs, and he does something to excite his Eiver, to cause that there should be a Tumah. So Rav Moshe says, then certainly there's no question that it's Bechlal the Isser of Nishmat and Kol Devarah. In other words, even to, there's an Azhar, the Rav Moshe holds as Minat Torah, not to think intentionally to look at a picture, or to look at something, or think about something that could intentionally, that could cause a person to have something take place which would be an accident. He's not touching himself, just an accident while he's sleeping. So Rav Moshe learns from there that the Kol Shekein, then when it comes to a person going to maze it, to excite oneself physically, touching oneself, and so on, then that's included in Vinishmatim called Avarat. It's in Evan Ezer, Chela Gimel, Samin Yudal, Rumesh talks about that. And we saw that Tosfos last week. Remember that Rashi spoke about the Zera being Levatola. But Tosfos did not say that. You remember Tosfos just said, Mashash should be out of regal, that even if there is no Zera that comes out, even if there's no seed that comes out, just exciting oneself, even if there's no spilling of seed. Tosfos learns that that's the din of Niyuf Biyat, that's the Isser. So if Moshe holds that what Tosfos is saying, and the Pshat and the Gemara that we learned last week, that if a person touches himself in such a way to excite himself sexually, Moshe learns that Tosfos is saying this is a Drosha Gemara, Tosfos learns this is a Drosha Gemara in the Gemara, and it's Midaraisa. That's what Moshe says, it's Midaraisa. It's a din of a nishmatim kol davar ra. That's Rav Moshe's view. That's the fifth. The Rav Moshe doesn't quote the Shulchan Kodesh, but I found in the Shulchan Kodesh the following. I'll just read it to you. The Shulchan writes the following: Misas erev ayin. It's in Parshas Vayeshev. Mises Erev Einen. Why did Erev Einen die? Why did Hashem kill them? Al she shchisu zar, because they were mashkes the zar. They destroyed the seed. Say ulamad at heichen migia chet oven zar levatala. Go and see to what degree is this sin, how terrible the sin is of zar levatala. Shneschayvu elu misa af she yakoidem matan tera. That they were chayv misa, even though this was before matan tera. Ulamatzino bnei noach mizarmal zeh. Doesn't say in chumash. Where did Hashem tell bnei noach that they can't do such a thing? Before the Torah. Apparently, Erev Einen had heard from their parents, and this goes back to where they came from, to the beginning, that this is something that is ra b'nei Hashem. This is something which is not good in God's eyes. V'anachnu shekibalnu ha-Torah, the Shalach Kodesh ends and says, v'anachnu, that are Jews, shekibalnu ha-Torah, that we received the Torah in Har-Sinai, v'nishmata mikol dover ra, and the Shalach Kodesh brings this pasuk, v'nishmata mikol dover ra, shlo yigram lo haitzi zer levatala, not to cause oneself to lose seed, afilu b'machshava kala, even through a hearer, through a thought, to, you need to intentionally think about things, ma noima, v'ma nedaber, b'motze chet zeh chasur shalom. What should we say? What could we say? So it seems that the Shlach Kodesh is with this mahalach that would later on Rav Moshe would talk about, that the makar of this issa is the din of nishmati mikol dover ra. The sixth makar, the Aruch Lener over there in Nida, he says that the issa is a din of chayvel amashkes. It comes from the din of chayvel amashkes. Chayvel amashkes, you know, means that we're not allowed to injure ourselves. A Jew is not allowed to injure himself. There's a long tshuva in the Rabbaz, we discuss it there. Suicide, lo aleinu. Injuring oneself is taking a gift that Hashem gave us. Our bodies don't belong to us, they're like on loan, so to speak. Hashem gives us our bodies during our lifetime to try to refine, to do what we can to make them worthy of having a nefesh lakis. An nefesh lakis inside. So one is not allowed to be chayv l'mashkis, one's not allowed to do anything to injure himself. He can't say, I'm not bothering anybody else, so I'm allowed to cut out a piece of flesh for myself. What do you mean? That's the Rebbeinu Shlom gave you your body. It's not your reshus. You don't have reshus to use it in a way that is against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Aruch Lener learns that it's also to be mashkis one zeret, that the spilling of seed, wasting of seed, is a type of injury that's brought upon oneself. This is based upon the lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Deis in the fourth parak, where the Rambam writes the following: Shichva zeruhu koach haguf, v'chayev u'mo'or einov. The zera, the seed, the zera of a man, is koach haguf, is the makar of the strength that he has of his body. The chayiv, his life, umor einav, and especially of his eyes, to be able to see. Now, I know there was a superstition, and that comes from a place of holiness, or comes from stam, from shtiyot, from some narishkeit, that even in the non-Jewish world, they're told that if they do that, they're going to go blind. So like many things that ended up in the non-Jewish world, it could be that it comes from a place in Kedusha. But except the Rambam is not talking about physical eyesight, about mor einav. He's not talking about that you're... God, somebody does that and he goes blind. It means that you lose your ability to see things in the way that you should be seeing them. We're going to talk about that in Mitzvah Shem a lot when we get to the... It's not going to be yet more than a year, Mitzvah Shem, but we'll get to the Inyan Shemir Seinayim of working on guarding our eyes. That a person who's an ish pnimi is someone that's not kidnapped and hijacked by everything that passes by. I'm not just talking about a girl. Stan. An ish pnimi is someone whose eyes are turned within himself, whose eyes look inward, not outward. And that doesn't mean you have to walk around the whole time like that. Well, there are people that did that. My father had a brother. My father had a brother, Avon Sri. Hashem Yikom Domer. And this tzaddik, my father said, this brother of his, he the other brothers, there were four brothers. My father's one of four brothers. And one of them survived. The other two were killed. And it's the outside. It's today. Yesterday was the outside. Yesterday's the outside. My father had a whole table of candles. So they, this Avon Tzvi, the other brothers were took turns. Each day of the week, another brother had took turns, went to walk Avon Tzvi on the street to go, and he had to go to Yeshiva to go anywhere, because Avon Tzvi never lift up his eyes. He went with his head down. And the other brothers were assigned to take Avon Tzvi, Avon Hirsch, to take him to go to the Smedrish, to take him to go to the, he had to go to get something, to go to a doctor. He never, my father said, he never lifted his eyes, mamish, never lifted his eyes up. And that was in a place called Ungvar, you know, in the 1920s, 1930s, where people wore a little bit of clothing in this day. It wasn't like, it wasn't, the street wasn't so, I mean, it wasn't so bad, like, and there were no advertisements flashing, you know, on the street. But the tachlis of Shmir Sinai, which we're going to talk about, the Indian of that avoda is to become a person that has eyes that are able to see holy things, that are able to see the truth, that are able to see the Baruch Shalom. So when the Rambam speaks about losing the Mor Ha'inayim, it might mean something physical, I don't know. But the Svarim understand is that the Rambam is not talking about what they say in the street, that if a guy does that, he gets blind. He does get blind. It means that you begin to be, you're transformed into a person who just doesn't see the world for what it really is. You become a person who only sees how to indulge your own pleasure, to satisfy yourself, instead of what other people are suffering from, what other people need. Instead to live a life as zich, you know, a life that's inward, you live a life that's outward. That's the inyan. But the Rambam says a strong lotion. That's the lotion of the Rambam. Shechazeru koyach haguf echayva ma'or einav. The light of one's eyes. It doesn't just mean eyesight. The light of one's eyes. V'chol zman sheteitze b'yayser haguf kol. And the more one wastes one's seed, it weakens the person's existence. V'koychei kala, v'chayev oivden, and his life begins to seep away. This is brought down, this Rambam is brought down not only by the Aruch Lener, it's brought down by the Tur in Aruch Chaim and Reish Mem and Evan Ezer Chaf Hei. And because of that, the Aruch Lener explains that the Baruch Shalom made us in such a way that as long as the Zera is being used either to propagate, to have children, for the purpose of Puravu, or even if at that time in your wife's life she's not able to have children, or you were told by that you were given a heter not to have children at that time, or medically she can't have children, she's expecting. Nevertheless, that's not called, God forbid, Hatzar Zera L'Vatala. And there's a mitzvah of Aina, that the husband and wife, there's a mitzvah, the Baruch Shalom wants the husband and wife to be together. It's a big mitzvah of Yichud, that a husband and wife should be together as a mitzvah. So when a person is using his seed for the sake of the mitzvah of either being able to have a child, or even if they're at a point in their relationship where that's not shayach to have a child, v'chol zayis, the mitzvah of Aina is a mitzvah, that a husband and wife should be together, as long as it's when it's permitted, in the way that it's permitted. So then, that's not a problem of hashchasa. That's not called, God forbid, wasting of seed. So the Aruch Lener learns that there's a din of being chayv lamashchis, of destroying or damaging one's life by wasting the seed. When it's not used for the purpose of a mitzvah, it's wasting the seed. The Ragatshava says, the Ragatshava brings this down. Also, the Ragatshava also feels that the yisoid of this issa that we're talking about, the yisoid of the issa of Hatzar Zera L'Vatala, is chovel begufa, is damaging, is injuring oneself. Now, before I said the seventh, we're going to talk about for the next couple of years. So we'll get to that. I'll mention that hopefully by the end. We'll get to that maybe in a few minutes. But kind of before we get to that, the seventh reason, before we get to that, which we already spoke a little bit about, before we get to that, what about Deraisa Derabon? Now, I mentioned before that Moshe holds his Deraisa. The truth is that there's a tremendous machloikis between the Rishonim and Achrayim regarding all of these drashas. Shvichas Damim, it's murder. It's niyuf, it's adultery. and the limud, because it says leisenaf, it doesn't say a woman. All of these limudim hashchasas aguf and so on. All of these, are these real drushes? Are these drushes gemuras mamish? You know, are we talking about deraisa? That these are deraisas, or are they asmachtas, or are they ramazim that were learned by the chachamim over the years? Hints, are they deraisas or not? So the Sefer Yerayim, it's a Rishon, right? The Sefer Yerayim, he holds that all of the drushes, whichever pshat you want to say, it's killing, it's adultery, whatever you want to say, the Sefer Yerayim holds that these are all asmachtas, and that the Isser is a drabban, it's not a deraisa. These are all asmachtas, and the Isser is a drabbanan. This is the view of the Sefer Yerayim. It's also the view of the Meiri. It's mashm like that in the Meiri. It's not 100% clear, I shouldn't say. It's mashm like that in the Meiri that it's a drabbanan. Among the Achrayim, one of the great Achrayim, the Teres Chesed from Lublin, he learns Pshat in the Ramban also like that. He learns Pshat in the Ramban that it's Nasmachta. There's no Issa Gomer Midaraisa to spill one seed, according to these poskim. Since it's not Misparish, it's not clear in the Torah, and even the Gemara, it sounds more like an Asmachta. And the Ma'isa of Erev Onein is a story in Parashas of Vayeshev that happened, and it says there that it was something bad, but it's not clear that it's an Isser. So this is, according to these Gedolim, is we're talking about a Dirabban. And the Pnei Yeshua writes in his Tshuvas. We have Tshuvas from the Pnei Yeshua also that are printed. And the Pnei Yeshua learns that all of these are Asmachtas. They're not Daraisas. And he writes the following. Devadai ein ze loy bechlal gile arayis v'lo bechlal shvichas dom. Pnei Yeshua writes, Vadai, spilling one seed. Vadai, he says, ein ze lo bechlal gile arayis. It's not a din of gile arayis. It's not a din of leisinaf of gilarayis midaraisa v'loy bechlal shvichas damim, and it's not mamish like killing a person. It's not killing a person. Da'af agav damim chazal shil ki l'shoyver damim. Even though Chazal say in the Gemara that we learned last week, you need that what it's kiilu. It's kiilu yishoyver damim. You're murdering. Haynu shaver gedolihi. The Pnei Yeshua says when Chazal used that lashon. Ki'ilu Shefer Damim, they're saying that we want you to know that this is not to be taken lightly, that this is a very serious matter. They're not saying it's mamish murder. T'chitala abdaitachad Lashon Hara. Could you even imagine that when it comes to, let's say, to Lashon Hara, Shomu Chazal Shishkula Kavad Azor Gilaraisa Shichas Dam. The Gemara in Erechin equates Lashon Hara to the big three Averis of Avodah Zarah, Gilarais, and Shivichas Dam. Lashon Hara. So the Pnei Yeshua says, T'chitala abdaitachot Lashon Hara, Shom Chazal, Shishkulak, Avodah Zarah, Gilarais, and Shivichas Dam, is Bihar Vayavar? Is there a din of Yahar Vayavar not to speak Lashon Hara? Pnei Yeshua says, T'chitala abdaitachot? That, you know, you have to let yourself be killed not to speak Lashon. Most people are dying to say Lashon Hara. I have something I want to tell you. I'm dying to tell this to you. But that a person is, there's a din of letting, that you have to be killed not to say Lashon Hara. There's someone who holds a gun to your head and says, I want you to tell me what that Lashon Hara, that I know you know about that thing, tell me or I'm going to kill you. There's a din. Pnei Yeshua says, you heard Yahweh. No. So he says that's absurd. Elavadai la'om chazal ela haflig ha'avan. Elavadai Pnei Yeshua says that the reason that they use such a strong lashon, avadazar, shvichzdam, all these things that we saw in the Gemara, is lahagdil ha'avan, is to strengthen our impression that this is something very serious, because we don't see it in Chumash, that it's, except for the story, we don't see it, that it's beferish anywhere. Best Rabban. Reb Sadik brings in Takanas HaShavan, this tshuva of the Pnei Yeshua. Reb Tzadik brings this. And Reb Tzadik seems to be masking Be'ikadvar. Reb Tzadik seems to be in agreement with the Pnei Yeshua. And he brings a number of rayas. Mitzvah will get to it. He brings a number of rayas to support this view. He's mefalfel in this view of the Pnei Yeshua. And Lamai said the Aruch Laner in his maskana, after the Aruch Laner wrote, which I just explained to you, that it's a din in being mashkas laguf, that you're injuring yourself. But the Aruch Laner says Lamaisa, he writes also in his tshuvas in Benitzin, that it's not a deraisa. It's not smachta. It's not mamish called injuring oneself. It's a type. It's not smachta. But it's not, doesn't mean mamish. It's like causing physical injury to oneself. And Rav Shlomo Kluger also agrees with this. The Yavits, all of these hold that it's a din d'rabbanan. The question is, what about the Shulchan Aruch? What does the Shulchan Aruch hold? So it's machlekes. Now most of the other Rishonim Achronim hold is a deraisa. Those who I mentioned to you, at least what I've seen, there are more, but what I've seen, these are of the opinion that it's d'rabbanan. The question is with Shulchan Aruch. So there are those who hold that according to the Machaber, it's nisa deraisa. There are those who hold that it's midrabbanan. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Prima Gadim and others hold that according to the Machaber, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's a din deraisa. It's nisa deraisa. Kipshuto, it sounds like in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a regular din deraisa. Rav Tzadok HaKohen and others, some of whom I mentioned already now, they don't learn the Shulchan Aruch that way, and they hold that the Shulchan Aruch brings it lahalacha, but it's not a deraisa, it's drabbanan. It's a drabbanan. Now, after all of this, the question, of course, we didn't get to the seventh yet. After all of this, the question now is whether it's a deraisa, it's a drabbanan, it's a machlokes. But the issue is, so why isn't the Taka written? Certainly according to the school that holds the deraisa. So leave the drabbanan. If you hold it, it's a deraisa. And it's not only a deraisa, but you remember we saw last week that it's brought down the Bisesi, brings in the Shchanach, brings in the Zohar Kodesh. That it's what? It's the most chomedike chait in the whole Torah. So then you would think that since it's the most chomedike chait in the whole Torah, you would think that the Torah would say something about it. Avart, something. But to leave it blank, or just a maisa that happened with the Evoinim, and not to say over an Azara, a Karis, a Malkus, something, Gishmak, just to leave it like that? Like it's... So this is a major issue that the Achrayim and the Tzaddikim are struggling with. So Ha'ikar is Chasim and HaSeifer. You're saying it's a Deraisa. It's a where? So listen to a sentence that's found in the Sefer Likutim of Narizal. It's on Yeshaya Perigimel in the Sefer Likutim. These are the words of the Ari HaKadosh. I mean that are brought to Narizal. Didn't write. It's brought from Nari. Hine Yadua. Ki oven haitzos zer levatala godel ma'oid. Hine yadu, it's known that the sin of haitzos zer levatala is godel ma'oid. V'lo matzinu sheniska b'tayr. But we don't see that it's mentioned in Tayr. V'ha'inyin, and the Rizal drops this like bomb. V'ha'inyin, ki lefishu hu yoyse chomer, the Rizal says, because it's so chomer, hu yoyse ne'elam. What does that mean? It's more hidden. It's because it's so chomer, like we see in Inyan of Kedusha, there's a very big Inyan in the Kisari like this. But for instance, when you look in the Bnei Yisrael, I'm just giving an example. You look in the Bnei Yisrael, the biggest yontif in the world according to Bnei Yisrael is what? Chanukah. Eh? Bnei Yisrael Chanukah. By Bnei Yisrael Chanukah, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Chanukah. When you learn Maral and Reb Tzadok, when you learn Maral and Reb Tzadok, Purim, Yom Kippur, Kippur, but Purim is mamish. That's the Yom Tov Yom Tov. No shayla. Yom Kippur is just trying to be like Purim. It's like a wannabe. Yom Kippur. When you learn Reb Leib Leigis, what's it called? Look in Teres Emes. Shuas. There's no other thing. He has Teres, Shabbos Lifnei Shuas, Shabbos Achri Shuas. He has pages and pages Shuas. Where else do you see that? Shabbos Lifnei Shuas, Shabbos Achri Shuas. Shabbos Lifnei Shuas, the Oifer. It's the Oifer. Shabbos after Shuas, Shabbos Brachas. Rabbi Leib Leigel is b'sugah with shuls, all the tikkunim, the chavdal kishutim, tikkun habris, everything is the yontif of shuls. Rabbi Leib Leigel, everything is shuls. All the tikkunim of shuls. So Zohar talks about the tashrit ha'kala, the tikkunim, the chavdal tikkunim of the kala, tikkun habris. Rabbi Leib Leigel is shuls, everything is shuls. Got big, big section on shuls. When you learn the Gemara in Shavuos, you have a black, you know. And then you have Maamar Chazal, and he asks somebody, what do you know about Shavuos? He says, Kofar Leib HaKigigis, but Hashem held him out of man. But all the Shavuos Torah, that's it. You know, it comes out to a couple of sentences, but... And then you have Tu B'Shvat, right? And you see the Svarm talk about this, the Pelayois from Harnsteipel, all the Tzaddikim, also Bnei Sosrim, he talks about Tu B'Shvat. You have from the Svardish, the big Tzaddikim, they spoke about Tu B'Shvat, they say the Tu B'Shvat. Kilo Tu B'Shvat is the biggest yontif of the year, Tu B'Shvat. And now what happened, Lag B'Omer, he asked a Svardish Yid, what's the biggest yontif of the year? Lag B'Omer is Hashayel. And now Lag B'Omer, you see before Mashiach, Lag B'Omer is... When I was a kid, he had come out, he didn't have anything. In Stolen and Borough Park, there was like a couple of guys running around. There's, he didn't have. Now it became, and Chutz Meretz Yisrael, he always had. But in Chutz Lais, he didn't have. Lag B'Omer is, when you look in the Svarim HaKadosh, you see, but Lag B'Omer, Rabbi Shimon, is the whole Indian of Kol HaTorah Kula, Mashiach, the Arish of Mashiach, everything is what? Is Lag B'Omer. We used to say Lag B'Omer, we used to say Chumash Lag B'Omer. Gal, AIDS, Losh, Gal. So you find the hint in the word Gimelab. And all the Ramazim and so on, but when you look at the Svarim HaKadosh, look at the Tefillat Tzadik and all this Svarim HaKadosh, you see the Lag B'Omer is the number one yontif of the whole year is Lag B'Omer, right? So the Ari HaKadosh is saying here a very big yisoid, but he doesn't explain it. He says that that on the side of impurity, there's such a thing that something is so great that it's ne'elam, that it's hidden. It's not written befeirus. Now, what we're going to see from the piece in Sikkur HaTzadik, which we'll learn next week, is that Reb Tzadik explains this inyan that it's ne'elam. It's ne'elam. What the Arizal says that it's ne'elam, Reb Tzadik explains, and also the Sefer HaBris, we'll get to that next week. But the saying is that since Hashem Yisbarach made the Teva so strong, it is human nature that people find it's impossible, this Indian, to hold back, at times in life, to hold back from spilling one seed. So Hashem Yisbarach didn't want to put such a thing in Chumash, because every Jew, with the exception of very, very, very great and holy people, at some point in life is nichshel in this Indian. So the Baruch Shem didn't want to write it in the Torah, such an Indian, didn't want to write it in the Chumash. Because the Torah was given to us in a way that we can contend with it. Everything that we could deal with, we can handle. And this seems to be an inyan that Hashem Yisbarach created in life that most people can't handle. And it's something which is, the sherish of it is a sherish ne'elam, why Hashem wants us to suffer with this inyan and to struggle with it, and to people walking around feeling bad. And what's this inyan of Atzor Zel Vatala? So we'll see that there's such a thing that it's so great, that it's mamish, that it's so high, from such a high place, that it's ne'elam. It's hidden. We'll learn that piece from Tzadik. Let me just mention to you the seventh, okay? Because since we already learned it, and this is the Iker, and we'll come back to Tzadik and Mishnah learn it next week, and then we'll go to some more details on that next week, Yeshua's. But afterwards, the seventh Makar. The seventh Makar comes from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Yisodos in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Yisoid in Zohar HaKadosh, Rabbi Shimon says over and over, and we learned this months ago, that it's a din in Bris Milah, the mitzvah of Bris Milah, because it consists of two things. Remember, it consists of the Ma'aseh HaBris, and there's also a din of what? Shmiras HaBris. That's the world of the Zohar HaKadosh. I'm reading to you just one sentence from the Zohar Kodesh translated from the Aramis into Hebrew in Parshas Yisro on Pezayin Amud Beis in the Zohar Kodesh. Hakesha Harishon Ben Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu Haya Hamila. The first and strongest kesha that Hashem has with a Jew is Mila, Bismila. Likones bebrisa shel Avraham Avinu. That's the entrance of a Jew in Kedushas Yisrael, is bris milah. Kishem shenichnas lebris. That's the knisa of being. That's the entrance into being a Jew. Shua kesher im hashchina. That's the kesher with the shchina. V'tzarach adam shloi l'shaker bebris hazu. Therefore, a Jew has to be careful. Lola shaker bebris. I wasn't mean lola shaker. It's to lie, not to be unfaithful to this bris. Shemisha meshaki bebris hazu meshaker b'kadosh baruch. Because if you're unfaithful to the bris, to kedusha of the bris, you're unfaithful to kadosh baruch. You're cheating on Hashem. That's the bris. Umahu hasheker. So the Zohar says, what's the sheker? Shlo yikaneis zehabris b'rishus acheres. That one should never ever take the bris and to bring it into another rishus, only into the rishus of Hashem, which is when it's a mitzvah and puruv hu, not to bring it into a different rishus. K'mishnema uboal bas el nechar. Like it says in Pasuk, to have relations with the daughter of a foreign god. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Mikan, he says, from here we see, from another pasuk he brings, Bashem bogdu kibonim zorim yolodu, that we betrayed Hashem by having children with non-Jewish women, with goites, that we betrayed Hashem. Bashem bogdu kibonim zorim yolodu. So the Rabbi Shimon says, Misha meshaker b'zeh habris, meshaker b'kadosh baruch hu. That if one is unfaithful to the Kedushas HaBris, if one does not use his seed in a way, which is Kedusha and Tahara and Mitzvah, so then you're Meshachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Ke'ilu, it's looked like you're having Bonim Zarim, like you're unfaithful to your wife, and you're having, God forbid, illegitimate children. That's how it's looked at. Shezu HaBris Achuza B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zu HaBris Achuza B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is a bris that is bound, that binds a Jew to Hashem. And the Zohar Kodesh and all this farm learned that that's why it doesn't only say the mitzvah of cutting off the bris, but it says the mitzvah es brisi tishmar ushmartim es brisi. So in the Zohar Kodesh, in the world of Pnimis, in the world of the Zohar Kodesh, in the world of the Ariya Kodesh, in the world of the Rashash, in the world of Chassidus and in Pnimis, the makar of this whole inyan of this whole Isser is that there's a kesher, there's a bris of ahava, of love, between a Jew and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's chasn and kala. There's an inyan of a relationship, and that aveira is to be meshakev nebris. It's being unfaithful in the covenant that a Jew has with Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's being meshakev nebris. Now the mitzvah the next year that we have, that we'll spend a lot of talking about, we can talk a lot about what does it mean brisi tishma, what does it mean shmir zebris, and we still need to talk more in halacha. But next week, next time this year, we'll learn the piece from Rabbi Tzadik together and Sikkes at Tzadik to explain what's this thing that Rizal is talking about, that it's ne'elam, that it's hidden. It's such a high thing that it's hidden. What does that mean, that it's hidden? And why did Hashem do such a thing? We'll continue with that next time, Mr. Shkai.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.